back home. Hey, you can leave.
We continue now our Making Sausage series, where we get a chance to know our elected officials. Steve Simon is Minnesota's 22nd Secretary of State. He just won re-election. We are happy to have him back on KAXE KBXE. Thanks for being with us, Secretary Simon.
Great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, hard-hitting question here. Have you ordered the big foam number one voter turnout fingers for all your staff?
That is next on my list. Yeah, I got to say, it was really gratifying. Minnesota voters really stepped up. You know, our big goal in our office was to get Minnesota back to number one in 2016, the presidential election 2 years ago, because we had fallen off in recent years before then. And we met that goal in 2016. Well, as you know, whether it's journalism or business or academics or sports, the only thing tougher than getting to number one is staying number one. So our goal for this year, 2018, was to stay number one and to keep the crown that we earned in 2016. And wouldn't you know it, Minnesota voters did it. We are now again, for the second election in a row, number one in the country. And in case your listeners are curious, 64.25% of Minnesotans who are eligible to vote turned out to vote. That is a huge number for a non-presidential election year. Second place was Colorado, and we beat them by a good cushion. So that's kudos to everyone out there who voted. It really says a lot about our state, and people are paying attention. This is now the second time in a row when Minnesota is number one in the country for voting.
Why is that significant?
I think it's significant for a couple of reasons. First, I think that it says something about the legitimacy of the outcomes. You know, if a candidate wins an election in which nobody shows up or very few people show up, that's one thing. When candidates win elections where a lot of people show up, it tends to lend a lot of legitimacy to the outcome. And number two, I think it just says something about us as a culture in Minnesota. You know, it says that we care about our communities. It says that we know that elections are significant. They mean something. And it says that people are taking the time to help make the state and our communities and our country better. And so I have to tell you, just to zoom out for a minute, that I have already, in the last 3 weeks since the election, gotten texts and emails and calls from people from other states saying, hey, what's your secret, Minnesota? Why is Minnesota doing so well? What can we learn from what Minnesota is doing? And that's really heartening. And Minnesotans should be proud of that other people around the country are saying, hey, we ought to ask Minnesota what they're doing.
And is part of the reason people trust going to the polls that our turnout is great, is it because we have paper ballots still? Is that helpful?
That is a great point. When it comes to the reasons why we're number one, a key reason, I think, is fundamental confidence in the system. We all have changes we want to make. I know I do. But the point is, everyday people know it's an honest system. It's a well-run system. You know, it's counties and cities who do the counting and the hiring of the election judges. They're our partners in this, and they do an outstanding job all over the state in really making sure things run smoothly. And one of the aspects of that confidence is exactly what you said. In an era where we're hearing a lot about hacking of elections or attempted hacking of elections, we are a paper-based state. Unlike other states that have touchscreen voting with no paper trail, you just push a bunch of buttons, we have never been that way. I predict we never will be that way. Good old-fashioned paper, it's an example of low-tech being better than high-tech. And here in Minnesota, as your listeners know, you just fill in an oval with a pen, and you have something that you can touch and feel and see. And at the end of every election, by law, we have to keep those ballots for nearly 2 years. We keep them in warehouses. We keep them, you know, all over. And so if anyone has a hunch or a bad feeling or a bad vibe, they can go and touch and feel and see those ballots. That ought to give people a lot of peace of mind, because it's hard to hack paper, right? And so there are other aspects of the system that are at least more vulnerable because there's an electronic component. But when it comes down to it, we are based on paper, and that ought to give people a lot of confidence.
You know, I have to say that this year was the first year that I voted absentee. I went down to our courthouse because I was headed on a trip, wasn't positive I would be back by Election Day, and I couldn't live with myself if I didn't vote. And it was so easy. Is that part of the reason, too, that our turnout?
Yeah, absolutely. And that, it's kudos there to the counties and in many cases the cities, who really make that process very smooth. And they put a lot of work and effort into it. It's not always easy, but they make it easy for everyday voters. And we don't have the problems, either by absentee or on election day, that you see in other states with long lines snaking around the corner and people voting two and three or waiting 2 or 3 or 4 hours to vote. You see those from other states and cities I could name, but you don't see that in Minnesota. You don't hear about people having to wait for hours and hours on end. That's because the folks who do the frontline elections work at the cities and counties do a fantastic job of making sure there are enough machines, enough election judges. There are people there to explain things to people. There are other options for people who now can vote from home if they want, or show up on election day, or show up in an absentee period. We are tied with South Dakota for the longest absentee period. It's 46 days, so it's not like a hurry-up kind of deal where you can only get your vote in by absentee, say, a week before or 2 weeks before. You got 46 days, a long period where you can stretch that out. So it's a combination of things, but our partners in local government deserve a ton of credit for making it a really good experience for people year in and year out.
I know you really care about getting younger people to the polls. How did we do there?
We did really well. You know, we won't have the final numbers crunched for a while, but I can tell you based on voter registrations, younger people really stepped up this time. So we busted all sorts of records in the state in terms of voter registrations, and a higher than usual, much higher than usual percentage of the brand new voter registrations. I'm talking about people who have never been in the system, not someone who moved from Duluth to Grand Rapids or vice versa. I'm talking about someone who's never been on the voting rolls and now is. Of that set of people, an unusually high percentage were people ages 18 to 30, our youngest voters. So based on that statistic, I expect that when we really do the final number crunching, you're going to see an uptick in youth voting generally. People were engaged, they were paying attention, and this is no matter where they sat or stood politically, left, right, center, something else, people were really paying attention, and young people were as well. So we hope the numbers in the end will show that there was a boost in turnout among the youngest voters.
We're talking with Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon today about the most recent election. Were there any problems in this year's election?
You know, very few. As you can imagine, we end up being the place that people call the most on election day. We actually staff up in the 2 weeks leading up to the election, and we have a call center that we staff up just to take questions, concerns. It's kind of a hotline where people report the good and the bad. And so we carefully track that, and of course we're in constant touch with our partners in law enforcement to see whether someone is in fact, you know, maybe breaking the law. And I can tell you, very few reports to us so far, even in the aftermath of the election, of wrongdoing or bad behavior or people sent to the wrong precinct or people running out of ballots. All in all, it seems to have been a very, very smooth election. It went very well, went very efficiently. You know, in the weeks and months to come, there may be things that come out of, you know, some agencies reporting some very isolated incidents of problems, but so far, really almost nothing.
So I'm wondering if you can help us understand one of the districts in our region, Minnesota House District 5A.
Right.
Tell us what's happening there.
Yeah, 5A is interestingly the only legislative recount. Typically, after an election, there are at least a couple. Sometimes there are more. There are a handful or more. This year, only one in 5A. Where Representative Matt Bliss and former Representative John Purcell, seeking to retake his old legislative seat, were in a contest. When the dust settled, former Representative Purcell was up and technically is still up by 8 votes. 8 votes.
Wow.
Now, that more than meets the threshold for a taxpayer-financed recount. That threshold is 0.5%. And obviously, 8 votes is super, super close. So the recount will happen on Monday, December 3rd. It will probably only last that day. If necessary, it will go another day. But on Monday, December 3rd, and even though that legislative district touches pieces of 4 counties, it will be consolidated in Bemidji, in Beltrami County. And so it's December 3rd, it must be concluded no later than December 7th, but it may all be done on December 3rd. And then what's called the State Canvassing Board, which is basically me and some justices of the Supreme Court and some judges, will reconvene on December 17th to certify the results of that recount.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. We'll keep our eyes open because we're wanting to know what's going on there. Now, you mentioned kind of other states and that you're hearing from other states. How do we do it so well? I'm wondering if we can talk about something that came up. You know, I don't think we hear about Secretary of States all that often, but in this last election, we heard about the Secretary of State in Georgia. And I'm wondering if you can kind of explain what that was like for you as being a fellow Secretary of State and what you thought went on there.
Right. Well, what went on there, just to refresh the recollection of your listeners, the Georgia Secretary of State also happened to be his party's nominee for governor at the same time. So he was the sitting Secretary of State and also running for governor. And one of the things that he did that was very controversial is he basically purged tens of thousands of voters from the voter roll using what in Georgia they call an exact match rule, which is that everything, every apostrophe, every letter has to be an exact match, middle name, or else you are bumped from the voter rolls. Now, not only don't we have that in Minnesota, but we have same-day voter registration, which is huge, which means if there's a dispute about a punctuation mark in a name like O'Reilly or O'Connor or a capitalization or anything like that, you can just clear it up at the polls. Georgia doesn't have that. So if you're bumped from the list, you can't just stroll in on election day and correct the problem. You're pretty much out of luck, and tens of thousands of voters were purged. Now, we don't do that in Minnesota. We don't purge voters permanently from the list if you haven't voted for a certain period of time. We just don't do it. It's not lawful for us to do it. I don't think the legislature would ever enact a law like that. But they have that law in Georgia, and they also have come to use this exact match system, which I think is unfortunate. I think it's misguided. I think it has the effect of shutting people out who are eligible voters who got an apostrophe wrong, or a junior or a senior, or something else. It could be human error. And I think that's a big problem. And it was very controversial given the fact that this person was also running for governor at the time.
Well, that's good to hear from your point of view. Now, I know as Secretary of State, you're not only, your job is not only about voting. Before we go, I'd love to hear about kind of what you have in mind for your next term.
Yeah, well, a lot of things. You're right. And we wear a lot of hats here. Elections is the one that is probably most known, but we are also the welcome mat for all Minnesota businesses, meaning every business in Minnesota, of whatever kind, whatever size, including nonprofits, have to file initially with our office when they file the actual business. So most often, before a business does anything else, get a permit, get a license, get a tax ID number, get insurance, they go to our office to actually file the entity. And we do a lot of related commercial activities with those businesses. So we have done a lot and are going to continue to sharpen and refine the things that we do to add value to businesses, to make it as easy as possible to start a business in Minnesota and as easy as possible to continue a business in Minnesota. We also run a program called the Safe at Home program. Not many people know about this program, but it's really life-saving work. Safe at Home is an address confidentiality program for victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, and others who fear for their physical safety. And basically what it does is those who are enrolled in the program can keep their true physical home address a secret, keep it totally private for all purposes. And so, for example, we help them with their mail because whenever they get mail, it goes through our office and then we get them their mail. And so people who don't want to be found aren't found. And we have thousands of people in the program now, and it is life-saving because these are people in an extreme situation who don't want to be and really can't, for their own safety or their family's safety, be found by those who are perhaps looking for them for the wrong reasons. So that's enormously important work that we do. It's very important to me personally and something that we're going to continue to emphasize and work on in the next term as well. And then back to elections for a second, we have a freedom to vote agenda that we're going to be pressing the legislature to pass. which consists of things like automated voter registration, restoration of voting rights for those who have left prison behind, a pre-registration for high school students who are 16 and 17 years old, and many other initiatives designed, for example, to strengthen and secure this, our election system from a cybersecurity standpoint. So we've got a long list of things that we're going to be pressing as part of our Freedom to Vote agenda, and it's going to be an exciting 4 years, I hope.
That's Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon. For more information, you can go to sos.state.mn.us. Thanks so much for talking with us. We hope to check in again.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.